Do you believe that tonight? Well, that was a little bit of us. I said, do you believe that tonight? Those angels were not talking to him. If you'll read that, those angels were not talking to him. Those angels were talking to one another. They were testifying to one another what they were seeing. The Bible said, and one seraphim cried unto another and said, holy, holy, amen. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth, because from where that seraphim was standing, that's what it looked like to him. I'm going to tell you something. When you get close enough to God, that's what he'll look like to you. Oh, come on now. Loosen up just a little bit. I said, when you get close enough to God, that's what it'll look like to you. They were right there in his presence, and when they got right there and he was right, they said, man, the whole earth is full of his glory. I'd like to get God right up in my face, wouldn't you? How many know that he said, draw nigh unto me, and I'll what? And I'm going to tell you, when you get up close like that, something's going to happen inside of you. Amen. So could somebody say with me, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts and the whole earth. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you like that to happen right here in this service? Raise your hands all over the house and magnify God.
I need to say something. When Brother Brian was up there talking, I just felt the Lord speak something to my heart. I don't know who this is for.
All right.
And but I found out when the Lord speaks to my heart, he knows who it's for. And he knows just where it's coming. But there is somebody here tonight, and you have a pain so deep that you can't even speak. You can't verbalize it. But there is a physician in the house. And that's what I felt like the Lord just wanted me to say. Let me just say that again. He knows your pain. And you've got a pain that's so deep you can't even verbalize it. But there is a physician in the house. And he is here to bring healing to you.
There are questions God would love for you to answer. Everybody needs to now and then. Oh, and when you reach that place, life's impossible to face. The question is not, do you have a friend? The question is, do you know he's passing by your way? Won't have to stay. Can you look beyond your doubt? Can you see him reaching out? The question is, what do you need from Jesus today? Oh, the question is, do you know he's passing by your way? Won't have to stay. Can you look beyond your doubt? Can you see him reaching out? The question is, what do you need from Jesus today? Do you feel the hope for help is slowly fading? Does the push and shove of life just get you down? And are you trampled underneath all the weight of unbelief? You too can touch His, Him and me made whole. Oh, the question is,
do you know He's passing by your way? Won't have to stay.
Can you look beyond your doubt? Can you see Him reaching out?
The question is, what do you need from Jesus today?
What about mercy?
Oh, what about mercy?
What about grace?
Don't you know that all you need is in this
place?
Oh, do you know He's passing by your way?
Yes. Oh, do you know
your pain won't have to stay?
Can you look beyond your doubt?
Can you see Him reaching out?
The question is,
what do you need from Jesus today?
Oh, listen. What about mercy?
Oh, what about mercy?
What about grace?
What about grace?
What about healing?
Oh, don't you know that all you need is in this place? Passing by your way.
Oh,
do you know your pain won't have to stay?
Can you look beyond your doubt?
Can you see him reaching out?
The question is,
what do you need from Jesus today?
Can you see him
reaching out?
The question is,
what do you need from Jesus today?
Be seated. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. May the Lord richly bless you. We've enjoyed already fellowshipping with the pastor and his family. Thank you for your giving tonight. May the Lord richly bless you for that and all that you've already done and you will do. As I said earlier, if I forget to say that some night, it's because my mind is elsewhere and I just forgot. And so if somebody, you know, if you bring something to eat or something and I don't say that I enjoyed it or I liked it, it didn't mean I didn't. It just means I forgot to say something about it, okay? And if I didn't like it, come ask me and I'll tell you. We're so glad for everyone that's here tonight. It's good to see Brother Cruz. It's been several years since I've seen him. It's good to see Brother Cruz here tonight, Brother Donald Pierce. And Brother Donald's like a brother to me. And I told Brother Hurst last night, I believe it was, I've called his mother grandmother ever since I can remember, I guess. And my mother has called her mom, so I naturally called her grandma. And I got to telling him about us running and jumping off the roof onto the balcony and into the ground. And I think about doing that now, and I think, my God, I'd break every bone in my body. But we survived. Hallelujah. So glad for everyone. All the home folks. We can't have revival without the home folks. And we're so thankful for everyone that is here tonight. I I sometimes preach things. Brother Brad, I think it was telling me about my son yesterday, and he told on Cade to me, and when he pulled us up on the internet and up there, and Cade had informed him that his dad did not preach on Sunday morning, which is normally so, and Brother Brad said, I think he is this morning. He said, no, Dad don't preach on Sunday morning. He's normally right. But then he said, he pulled me up and he said, no, that's not Dad. But then he said, you hollered real loud. And he said, yeah, that's Dad. He said, he listened to me and he said, I even know what he's preaching. Said he's preached that thousands of times, and that's not true. Not quite true, but he had heard it before. Even told him what it was, and he listened to me and he said, he's almost through too. That's getting real good, because I don't even have notes like that. So I don't know how he figured all that out, but he did. Sometimes I preach things over, and sometimes I preached a message at Brother Donald Pierce's one night on You Better Hope That Donkey Can Talk. I've never preached it again. I've never felt like preaching it again. I'd like to, but sometimes they don't ever come back to you. But I felt the Lord speak to me today, and I need to preach this to you. So I've never preached it before. Y'all got used to these screens, and I told that brother back there, I gave him my scripture, but I said, man, it's like a redneck playing with a city boy's toy. And so I'm a wildcat. I don't know sometimes where I'm going to stay or where I'm going to land. So anyway, if I get messed up, it's not his fault. Don't worry about it. I'm just going a different direction. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. Tonight I want to read from Habakkuk 3 and verse number 17. Felt the Lord just speak this to me today. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Doesn't sound like preaching today, does it? Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Can you say amen? We've got bad things happening in verse 17. Doesn't sound like anything to make you happy. Doesn't sound like anything to rejoice about. And yet the writer says, I made up my mind somewhere, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask God to anoint us? Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight. I thank you so much for this wonderful congregation, the crowd that's here. I praise you, God. I'm asking you to move on us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let your word sink into our heart. Let us be filled with your power. Let the altar service be mighty before God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said together, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for honoring the Word of God. The tone of chapter 3 and verse 17 is very dreary. 17, if you just read verse 17 and you ended and the phone rang and you jumped up and run off, you would be depressed the rest of the day. Hello? Verse number 17 is actually like a lot of testimony services I've seen. Hello? I've said this a lot of times. Testimony service is a very iffy thing. Because I've often said if I was depressed before it started, I would commit suicide when it was over with. By the time everybody got through telling how the devil had been chasing them all over the place, bless his holy name, they'd say, and how he had been bothering them and tempting them and messing with them, after I got through listening to all that, I'd feel pretty bad about things. I'd really want to just go home and forget the rest of things. And verse number 17 would leave you like that. Can you say amen? Verse number 17 does not sound like your
mega church pastor today. Hello? He doesn't sound like the television evangelist that's on the TV. He doesn't sound like Creepo Dollar, does he? And all those fellas that talk about how that God's going to just pour out on you all the time and everything's going to be wonderful. I was driving down the road one day, and I like to listen to black music, and I got a little soul in me somewhere, and I like to get with that. Now, I like it until they start repeating themselves over and over again. When they get to repeating stuff too much, I turn it on to the next song, you know. But I was listening to these guys sing, and I was really enjoying their song. They was singing, "You want it, God got it. You want it, God got it." Boy, and I was liking it. I liked the rhythm, and I liked the way they were singing. And they got singing the verses, and they was pretty good. And then they hit this verse, and they said, "He got the clothes on your back. He got you keys to a Cadillac." I dropped off laughing about right there, because God had never gave me keys to a Cadillac yet. Amen. Hey, listen to me. It's not down on you. I hope you get three of them. I'm just saying, God does not promise us all of those things. Amen. He doesn't promise us the bank account's always going to be full, the children's always going to be well, there's always going to be a job. And this writer right here is looking around, and he said, "Listen, let me tell you something." He said, "The fig tree may not blossom, there may not be fruits in the vine." Amen. There may not be a flock in the field, there may not be herds in the stall. Everything in my life may go wrong, and then he throws a little word in there I want to preach on. He says, "Yet." Hallelujah. Yet. That's what I want to preach on tonight for a little while. I can only remember one other time in my ministry that I've ever used a word and made an acronym out of it until now. I remember one time preaching a message on push, pray until something happens. I remember preaching that, but other than that, I've never used an acronym in my sermon. Some of you don't even know what that means, but that's when you take every letter in that word and make a sentence or a word or a phrase out of it. And I want to preach tonight on yet, and I want to preach on your everything. Hallelujah. Your everything. Hallelujah. This scripture in verse 17, as I've already said, is contrary to the doctrine that we've got today. Nothing is said here about things are going to turn around or get better. Nothing. There's nowhere here that it says all of a sudden that the fig tree's not been blooming, but blossoms is going to come out all over the tree. Nothing is said about that. Nothing is said about everything's going to turn around and start going right for you. Nothing said about that. Nothing said that somebody's going to show up with a herd of cows. Hey, man. Nobody says he's going to show up with a flock to go in the stall. What simply happens is inside of the writer, he says, "You know what? I've looked at the circumstance, but I know who the solution is." I hope y'all loosen up and help me here a little bit. I'm going to tell you something. I looked at it. There's no fruit in the vine. There's no wine. You couldn't have wine if you didn't have fruit in the vine. Come on now. There's no wine here. There's no vegetable garden. There is no fruit. There is no income. Amen. We're living in a day when things has kind of got a little tight. There at the church at Jersey, I had some men in my church that had some very nice businesses. One man in my church had an excavating, earth moving kind of business. I don't know how many earth movers he owned, and dump trucks and road graders and all of these things that he owned. And man, everything was floating along good, and all of a sudden the bottom dropped out of the economy, and he went 18 months without a job. One. Hello? You know what the natural reaction to that is? The natural reaction to that is to withdraw inside ourselves and say, you know what? The Lord must not be with me anymore. Hello? That's what we naturally do. But you know what? I saw Brother David, I saw him go through a low place. But I saw him come out the other side of it when he made up his mind. You know what? Things may not be right and they may not be like I want them to be. But I tell you what, yet I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to remember that he is everything I need. Amen. I am going to remember when your father and mother forsake you, the Lord will take you up. I'm going to remember that there is a God in heaven that holds the whole world in the palm of his hand, that has everything under control. Hey, brother, we've got to come to a place in our life where we can say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Can you say amen? You see, the problem is, to us so much of the time, he's not everything. We in America have got everything and we don't need God. Everybody under the sound of my voice has everything that you need. You do. You may not have everything you want, but I doubt there's anybody. Boy, I didn't get any amens right there because we don't like that. Hello? I heard a man the other day that was predicting some things financially. I hope that he is very, very wrong. In the past, he has not been wrong. I hope he is very, very wrong. I'm not up here to go through his predictions, but I will say this about him. He predicted everything so far and hit it dead on the head, and he said it don't matter who in 2013 the president is. Ain't gonna make no difference. Now, that's just what he said. Listen to me. He said, I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen, and he went through it, and he said, we're actually going to revert back to the 1940s. When he said nobody can hardly go and you just make the trip to where is necessary. But this is what he said then. He said even if he predicted that gas would be $28 a gallon and before it was over with. This is what he said though. He said Americans will not starve in the streets. He said because even if we get to that place, he said we will still be much richer than many of the countries of this world. We're so well off, we don't realize how well off we are a lot of the time. And I sat down at Brother Hurst's table the other night and I made this statement. My dad told me when I left the church at Jersey, he said, boy, evangelizing has changed drastically in the past 5 years. Boy, oh boy, I did not realize what he was talking about. You know what? Lots of places just aren't having revival anymore. It's not so much that we can't afford it. It's just we can't take the time out of our schedule of trying to make, oh, y'all might as well say amen. We can't take time out of our schedule just to have revival. I've got to have overtime. I've got to pay for this toy. I've got to pray for that toy. I tell you what we're needing in America. We're needing a revival where he becomes everything to us. I said we're needing a revival where God becomes everything to us. Woo! Hey, I'm going to tell you, would a financial crisis change things? Absolutely. Absolutely it would. I'll tell you what it would do. It would make him become our everything. Huh? I want to know how many young people under the age of 30 in here has ever went to the refrigerator and it was empty. I want you to raise your hands right now. There was nothing. I didn't say nothing you wanted, you spoiled brat. I said there was nothing in there. Come on now. Hello? Now let me ask you this. And we may need mama to shut their eyes here. Let me ask you this. How many's ever went to the refrigerator and there was something spoiled in there? Now look at the hands. Your mama's going to beat all of you when you get home. Hello? You know why that is? We have such an abundance. We have everything we need. I remember growing up evangelizing. People's got a warped idea about evangelizing. I'm not poor mouthing tonight. I've never poor mouthed in the pulpit in my life. But I just got news for you. There has never been an evangelist among us that ever got rich. And it's much the other way most of the time. Hallelujah. I remember growing up, we just didn't have a lot of money. I didn't hardly get an allowance because sometimes there wasn't enough money hardly to put gas in the car, much less get an allowance. So, man, when we did get money, we thought we was really doing something. I remember one night my brother sat down at the table. I don't know who done it. I'd have went and rubbed shoulders with him if I'd have known. He sat down at the table and he whipped out, Brother Steve, a $10 bill. He was a little bitty old fella. He was about the size of Cade there, about 9 or 10. He kind of whipped that thing around. And back then, $10 meant a lot more than it even does now. And we was all looking on him. You know, me and my sister was sinning. We was envious and jealous. And we was looking at his $10 bill. And I'll never forget, there he was, 9 or 10 years old. He looked at Dad and he said, "Looky here, what so-and-so gave me." And Dad said, "Boy, that's good. That's good, Troy." He said, "That's really good." And then Troy kind of sat back in his seat. He got a little smile on his face, and he said, "Dad, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." Come on now. We won't say that out loud, but we come to the house of God. We've got so much materially that we come to the house of God. Come on here now. We've got, hey, I feel like preaching here a little bit. We've got smartphones to look at while the preacher's preaching. Amen. We can make a amen. We can make a grocery list. We go off somewhere in our mind. We're working on the job tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you, what if all of it was gone? What if tomorrow everything left? I tell you, then somebody's going to have something down inside of them that says, even if the fig tree ain't a blossoming, even if there's not fruit in the vine, I know who I am, and I know who my God is, and I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise God. Yet I will rejoice. Somebody ought to raise their hands and magnify God in this house. Woo! I'm starting to feel like preaching up in here. Hey, listen to me. Oh, you know, we'd see a lot more miracles, amen, if he was our everything. Come on now. Don't you dare leave this place. You got this on tape? Good. Because don't you dare go tell anybody that I said don't go to the doctor. I did not say that. Come on now. But I'm going to tell you, we'd see a lot more miracles if we'd give God a chance where we gave old Dr. So-and-so a chance. Before we gave him a chance to give us the wrong diagnosis, it'd be pretty good if we'd go to the master physician and say, "I don't need a diagnosis, I need a healing." Woo! Hey, I believe God, my God, y'all ain't feeling what I am. I believe God still does that. I said, I believe God still does that. I believe his arm is not short. I believe his ear is not dull of hearing. I believe the master of the universe still has the power to save and deliver and heal. Hey. I was listening to a fella preach. He got to telling about his mother. She was an old saint of God. His daddy was a bootlegger. Some of y'all from Kentucky know what that is. Because your kinfolks, that's what they were. Hallelujah. I know that for a fact. Because my wife's sitting there and her and kinfolks was bootleggers. And anytime we get in an argument real bad, I can bring it out. Hallelujah. Anytime I want to. You can reach as far back as you want to, Brother Maggard, in a good argument. Hallelujah. He was a bootlegger.
But Mama was born again. Hallelujah. She is an old saved lady. Said we all thought she is crazy. Said something happened to Dad. Got lockjaw. Probably from that stinking whiskey he'd been making and drinking. Hallelujah. Got in the bed. Mouth popped open. Couldn't close his mouth. They lived down in Texas. About 3 weeks he laid there in the bed. His tongue swelled up. Looked like a piece of sandpaper in his mouth. Couldn't say a word. The only way they kept him alive was they would put water in rags and they would put it in his mouth and squeeze it to where just enough of that moisture that get into his mouth to keep him from dying from a thirst. That they put it in there fast, he'd choke. Somebody, they were so poor, they couldn't afford to go to no doctor. Somebody from town, am I boring y'all? Hallelujah. Somebody from town called and got him a doctor. Sent him a doctor out there. He said, scared me to death. I was just a little boy out there. He said, doctor pulled up in a shiny black car. He said, he went in our house. He looked at my daddy, and then he come out in the backyard. Bunch of the neighbors had gathered around, just sitting around, just waiting to see what was going to happen. He said, we are standing in the backyard, me and Mama. He said, that doctor come out, looked at my mother. He said, miss, by tonight your husband will die. He can't live. He looked at me, patted me on the head. The old preacher said, boy, you're going to have to be a big boy. You're about to be the man in the house. He said, it scared me to death. He said, I noticed. My mother said, well, thank you, doctor. Said, I noticed she never got disturbed. She never hollered or cried. She never said anything, but thank you. He got in his shiny black car and went home. He said, my mama looked over at me and she said, Ed, I'm going up into the sage broom patch behind the house. I'm going to pray. Y'all know what I'm preaching on tonight? I'm preaching on yet. I'm preaching on when he is your everything. Amen, amen. She went up there and he said, boy, if you'd have been some kind of city preacher, you wouldn't have liked her prayer. He said, I couldn't see nothing but her hand sticking out from above that broom sage. But I heard her say, oh, God. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you, you can get places in your life when you realize the preacher can't help me and the doctor must have thought of a higher and the doctor can't help me and the church can't help me, but to me he's become everything. I said he can be your everything. Amen. Great God Almighty. He said she went to pray and said she prayed and the power of God came down. Said them old men sitting in the backyard bowed their head. She was a crying, God, I've got 5 boys. I can't raise them out here in this dust bowl by myself. God, I can't go without my husband. You got to do something. Daddy laying in the house with his mouth popped open and tongue thick. Hadn't said a word in about 3 weeks, laying there in the bed about to die. But Brother Hurst, he said all of a sudden, he said, I went to playing. He said, I heard. Whoa! Whoa! He said, I looked up there in that broom sage patch. And he said, the old Texas dust was a-flying. And he said, Mama was a-shouting and a-glorifying God. He said, I ran in the house where my daddy was laying. He was laying there on that bed. Said he turned his head and looked at me and said, boy, is that your mama shouting? And he got up out of the bed. Hey, brother, God will move for us. I said, God will move for us when he is our everything. I wish somebody would worship God in this house. He wants to be your everything. Hey, hey, hey. Has he ever healed you? Has Has he ever come to you? My God, I wish y'all was with me a little more. Has he ever come to you in the middle of the night when there wasn't anybody else around and you couldn't tell nobody how you fell down inside? But he was your everything. I said he was your everything. And the writer said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Woo! I tell you what, I felt the Lord prick my heart today. Very, very elementary. But very, very, some of the most powerful truths are elementary. He'll either be your everything or he'll be nothing at all. You say, preacher, why ain't our church having a move of God like we used to see? Well, I had a great old man in my church at home. Old Brother Curly Mayfield. Brother Curly Mayfield, it seemed like Brother Donald shouted every time we went to the house of God. Darla says that when I shout like him. I said, you know what? I don't try, but I guessed I watched him shout so much that when God got on me, come on now, how are they going to act from watching you? Y'all ain't with me up in here. Say amen or oh me one. I said, how are they going to act from watching you? Are they going to sit there with their hands down? Are they just going to raise their hands when they're required to? Are they just going to worship when Brother Hurst prompts us over and over? Or will we come in and say, he's everything. He's everything. I don't need anybody to tell me to praise him. I don't need anybody to tell me to clap my hands. I don't need anybody to tell me to lift my voice. He's my, I said, he's my everything. I said, he is my everything. I wish somebody would raise their hands and magnify God in his house. Shandarabosharabahaya. Woo! Shandarabosharabahaya. He'll be our everything or he'll be nothing. But I remember Brother Hurst many, many nights. If we got slow and quiet at my church, if it got quiet like that right there, this is what he'd do. It's too quiet for a holy roller meeting. And he'd jump up and begin to exhort us. And it wouldn't be a minute, Brother Donald, you've seen him, I know. Wouldn't be a minute. Them old feet across the floor, he'd go dancing and shouting. But he was always talking about how God used to do, how God used to move, how God did it then. One night, very respectfully, I went to him and I said, Brother Curly, that's all good and nice and I appreciate it and I've heard all the stories over and over. I can tell them myself. That don't do me any good right here where I'm at right now. I wasn't there in 1940. I wasn't there in 1950. Come on now. I wasn't there in 1960. Come on now. That don't do anything for me right now. Come on now. Whoa. But I tell you, we got in revival at my home church. And the power of God started falling. And I'm telling you, one night pandemonium had broke loose in there. Little classy sister Darla, she hates for me to call her sister, but I can't help it preaching. But little old classy sister Darla over there done fell off in the floor and rolled up under the pews, and I don't know where she went. People was running. I seen seven or eight people running the backs of the pews all at one time. time. People falling in the floor getting saved. Come on now. And the power of God was falling. My God. Brother Donald, Brother Curly was standing on the edge of that platform like this. Just watch him. I remember walking up beside him, Sister Heath, and I put my arm around him. I said, Brother Curly, what's this like compared to the old days? He looked at me and said, boy, I ain't never seen anything like this in my life. I come to tell you, it's still possible in 2012 for the church of the living God to have a move of God until we hear from heaven. He's got to be your everything. Raise your hands and magnify God up in this house. Say, Chehachehen, Anabo. Woo! But brother, you don't understand. I come to church and things are bad. I can't worship God. Why? Huh? Why? Let me tell you a little story. There was a black lady in a church. Black folks are funny. I know, we've got them here. They're good friends of mine. Don't worry about it. They are funny. They can be rough one minute, but they can get spiritual on you like right now. Hello? Oh, don't get tight on me. Come on here. It's the truth. I've been on a ball court with them. One time they was cussing. I told them I was the preacher. Woo, the bishop. Hallelujah. They got holy all of a sudden. Amen. I ain't lying to you. I know what I'm talking about. One thing they do have going for them that we are very slack on. Much of the time, they are very respectful to their elders. Come on now. Mama, amen, rules with a ball bat, bless God. And if she needs something else, she'll get a pistol, amen. Hey, hey, but there's a black church. And there was an old black mammy in that church. And then she had the power of God. Every time they come to the house of God, old black mammy, this is what she did. This ought to come back in style. And it will if he becomes our everything. Y'all ain't up in here yet. I said, y'all ain't in here yet. I said, this is going to come back into style when God becomes our everything. When he's our all in all, brother, we'll want to shout and rejoice in the presence of the King. Amen, amen. But you know, a lot of bad things happened to the old mammy. Her husband left her one day. Left her with them all them little boys and girls to raise. And now what's Mammy going to do? And church time rolled around, Brother Steve, and church started. What? Come on now. And then her boy got killed and a drug deal went wrong. What's Mammy going to do now? Then her daughter got picked up for being a prostitute. What's Mammy going to do Sunday? Y'all ain't up in here with me yet. Come on now. Finally, they couldn't stand it anymore. And some of them went to her and said, Mammy, we saw you when your husband left. And you come to church and you shouted. And we saw you when your son got killed. And you come to church and you shouted. And we saw you when your girl got picked up, standing on a street corner. And you come to church and shouted. What in the world gives you the ability to do that? And that old black mammy said, honey, she said, I just remember that the darkest day there's ever been was the day that Jesus died on that hill outside of Jerusalem. But she said, you must also know, babies, that 3 days later was the brightest day that there's ever been in the history of the world. And she said, I've always gave God 3 days, and he always gives me the victory. I come to tell you, brother, that's God being your everything. I said, that is God being your everything. Somebody ought to raise your hands and say, God, I want you to be my everything. Everything! Ghost in this house, I believe I'd let him know you're my everything. You are my all in all. Our worship has become way too tied to how things are going in our everyday life. Am I boring y'all? It's not always good. Somebody made note the other night that they remembered me being at youth camp, and I would hold my daughter up in one hand in my hand. I'd usually tell them she was Miss Youth Camp's what I'd usually do. She's a little bitty. I'd hold her up there. I remember one night carrying her out of the church. She's always liked me. She still likes me. Don't she, Brother Hurst? Yeah. Brother Hurst been crying for Hannah every night after I leave, I think. Hallelujah. Because I think mine acts like his Hannah did. Hallelujah. But one night I was walking to the car with her in my arms. And it was cold and windy in Oklahoma, and it was cold. And I'll never forget it. We was walking out across that parking lot, and there wasn't any lights out there. And Brother Donald, you may have heard me tell this before, but she said, "Dad." She couldn't talk real plain. She was a little bitty. "Dad?" And I said, "Yeah, baby." She said, "Cold. Dark. Scary." She had it right on every count for her. Cold. Dark. Scary. But baby, why ain't you crying? If it's cold and it's dark and it's scary, why ain't you crying? You know why she'd tell you that she wasn't crying? Because I was holding her. Y'all ain't with me. Come on now. She wasn't afraid that it was cold and dark and it was scary because I had her up in my arms. And when you realize he is my everything, it don't matter how cold, how dark, and how scary it really gets. I'll know if I need him to. He'll pick me up and he'll carry me. Woo! Is there anybody in this house? Has he ever carried you when it was cold, when it was dark? Did he carry you? I'm preaching on yet. I'm preaching on when he is your everything. Psalms chapter 37 and 25. Psalms 37 and 25. How many knows what it says? I have been young and now I am old. And then what's it say? He's been my everything. I've been young and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know why? He's been everything I've needed. He's been my bread when I was hungry. He's been water. He's been oil. He's been everything. Raise your hands and I didn't say everything's always going right. I didn't say it's always going to be good. It's not what I said. I just simply said he can be your everything. Years ago, I was down praying. There were some situations that come up in some friends of mine's life that was very drastic, that was very bad.
I was contemplating over Songs of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 16. I actually had my Bible open and I was praying. I'd been reading my Bible and I was praying, had my Bible open. I had just read Songs of Solomon chapter 5. This is what it says, verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. I'll never forget, Brother Brock. I said, God, hold on just a minute. I got this friend and they've got this problem and it don't look good. And I've got this friend and they've got this problem and it don't look good. And I'll never forget it. One of those sweet times when the Holy Ghost spoke to me where I could hear his voice. And this is what he said. Situations never change my loveliness. Where I'm at doesn't mean he's not lovely. Where I'm at doesn't mean he's not great. How sick I am doesn't mean he's not a healer. Are y'all up in here? Hey, is there anybody that would like for him to be your everything? I said, is there anybody that would like for him to be your everything? I got this word for you. After all he's brought us through, after where he's brought us from, doesn't he deserve to be our everything? I said, doesn't he deserve to be our everything? That's why we ought to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us and let him be our everything. I'm fixing to close. Listen to this. Listen to this. Let me give you the definition of yet in this scripture. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll give you the definition of yet there. He just told us in verse 17 all the bad things. And then he says yet. And this is the definition. In spite of all that. In spite of all that, I will rejoice in the Lord. Does anybody else here besides me? Whoo, I wish y'all was a little higher than you was. You need to get a glimpse of him. It'll rise you up. Hallelujah. Hey, are you hearing me? Does anybody remember when with joy the first time you drew water out of the well of salvation? Come on now. Does anybody remember? Do you remember how you felt when you took that first drink of living water? And all of a sudden, somewhere down inside of you, a well started. Woo! And all of a sudden, you woke up the next morning and he was your everything. And all of a sudden, you went to bed and he was your everything. I'm closing. It's going to be easy to tell when he's your everything. It's always easy to detect the people when Jesus is their everything, because you can't keep their hands down in the house of God. You can't keep them quiet. You say, but old preacher, you don't understand my nature. That's the trouble. You need to get your nature out the way. Because I'm going to tell you, if you see Jesus like them seraphim saw him, you're going to holler at somebody, holy, holy. You can't find me one place in the Bible where they worshiped quietly. It's not there. You can't find it. I dare you to bring it to me. It ain't in there. But I'll tell you what he says over and over. Worship with a loud voice, with a loud high sounding cymbal. Huh? Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. Why? Because he is my everything. And
So I got a little experiment here tonight before I quit. Let's try this. Let's try to obey the Bible. Clap your hands, oh ye people. It's not what I said. That's what the Word of God said. Clap your hands, oh ye people. But he didn't stop there. He said, shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Hey, you know what he's wanting us to shout about? He is our everything. It ain't the football team. It ain't the softball team. It's Jesus. I said, it's Jesus. He is our everything. Stand to your feet all over the house and let us magnify the Lord together in this place. What are you excited about? He's my everything. What are you shouting about? He's my everything. He's healed me when I was sick. He's touched me when I was down. He's lifted me up when I didn't know if I could go another day. He has been my everything. To me. I'm closing right here. I'm closing. I'm going to let y'all have it. But listen, I remember the old Magruders used to sing a song. And they'd sing, to me, he's become everything. He's everything that I need. Y'all ain't feeling what I am. The beginning, the end. He's lost, dearest friend. To me, he's become everything. Hey, is there anybody in this house that would get out of your pew and head to this altar and say, I want God to be my everything? I want God. That ought to be everybody. That's right, Brother Brad. Run, boy. Come on, run. I believe I'd run out of there. I believe I'd run. Come on. Hey, do you want him to be your everything? Do you need something in your life? Come to the front of this house. Throw your hands in the air and say, Lord, I want you to be my everything. Turn him up, brother. Turn him up, brother. Come on.
He lost your strength. To me, he become everything.
Sing it, hey.
To me, he's become everything.
Oh, do you need anything in your life? I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to let him become your everything.
He lost your strength. To me, he's become everything. Well, to me, he's become everything.
Oh, yes, I know he has.
Yeah, he's everything that I need. The beginning, the end. Woo! He's life's dearest friend.
To me, he's become everything. Well, when I wake up in the morning, Jesus. He's right there by my side. At night, he's my last thought in mind. Well, he's joy for each moment. He's hope that faith brings. To me, he's become everything.
How? Well, to me, he's become everything. He's everything that I need.
Do you need a healing? Let him be your everything. Do you need the Holy Ghost? Let him be your everything. Do you need a touch?
To me, he's become everything.
Hey, 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 hey.
He's everything that I need. The beginning, the end. He's life's dearest friend. To me, he's become everything.